Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can go on the phone.
Yeah.
The battery.
Also,
somebody had to walk from Cativa to San Martin to get the midwife come over and attend to the lady who was in labor. So I was born in Cativa, right here, and at home. with the midwife at that time.
And what about your childhood? What memories do you have
of childhood? Okay. I can remember clearly when I was 3 years old, they had a little school. So when I asked my brothers and sisters, where are you going? They said, I'm going to school. If they had said school, I would understand why it's school. But they said school, giving me baby talk. So I imagined that school was a place under a tree with sandwiches, drinks, cool drinks, so I wanted to go to school. And I can remember the very first day of school when I was 3 years old, going to school. And it was a rainy day, and we couldn't just, the place where we live, we had little tracks to walk down. I live on a hill. So that day, I put the book in on my lap, and I put my hand like that on the ground, and I slid down the hill. When I got up at the bottom, I took the leaf, wiped my hand, and went off to school. When I got there, instead of finding a tree with sandwiches and drinks, I saw an old man sitting in a little dark, shabby room with a hat tilted on his head, and he was wearing glasses, round glasses on his nose, and then he said, so then this old man, that was very interesting, 3 years old, facing something like this, and then he started with the ABC book. Who's the author of the book? I can't read it all. ABC, it's on the Royal Reader Kit. Mm-hmm. He started out with ABC, dog book, infant reader, then he moved on to first book and second book. Each book you had to read, you had to spell, and as you advance, you had to answer questions, you had to give the definition of words, and by the time I was 6 years old, I could do arithmetic, I could do the book. I have done ABC, dog book, infant reader, first book, and second book by 6 years old, by the time I was 6 years old. Then I could do arithmetic, multiplication, division, everything, all the four main operations I could do. So I moved on to the public school at 6 years old, and I was prepared for third grade, but I had a lack in the speaking Spanish. I could speak Spanish because those little schools were English. So I went into second grade because of my lack of the Spanish language. Because at that time, the people, the neighbors, were all English speaking people. And at that time, the English people, we never, we never mixed with the Spanish speaking people. The neighbors were all English speaking people coming from Jamaica, Barbados, people who came to build the canal, and they started to live in these little towns. So the neighbors were all English speaking. The Spanish people were living in other areas, mostly like around this section of Catuba. So I couldn't play with Spanish children, I didn't know to speak Spanish. So I went to second grade with them at the age of 6 years. That's what I can remember. Religious-wise, that same little old man, he had a lady that came from Rainbow City, and they held church meetings there. The lady was Mother Burgess. So the little school was like related to the church. And then she would come sometimes to visit, and she would have a contest and think with the girls. That's what I can remember so far.
Who were your best friends? Were they your neighbors also that you were speaking of?
Well, my best friends were my sisters. Because you could go outside, you could just, when you go to the shop, you say hi, you talk a little bit, but we didn't talk until friends. At that time, when your mom sent you to the shop, she used to spit on the floor. And if that spit dry before you return, you know what you will get. So he had to run to the shop quickly and run back home before that day.
Right.
So you didn't have that time to talk to friends outside. Your friend had to be your sister in the house.
Tell us a little bit about your parents and grandparents.
My mother was Panamanian. My father came to Panama during the canal construction period. He was only nine years old when he came to Panama, and he worked as a water boy. My father always told us about the war, he was a water boy, but I didn't imagine what that meant until I saw a documentary about the diggers. And when I saw the diggers, I cried right through the documentary to see the way that they brought the people from the Caribbean island. My father was from Martinique. And it was so sad to see how these people came. I saw it like animals, because they didn't come seated nicely on a ship. They came actually hanging, some of them hanging because it was so cool, and they came actually hanging. And then when the men were working and they got thirsty, they called the water boy. And when I saw it, I cried. I said, my God, so far my father came. He came a long way. And to form a family in Panama. Now he came along with an aunt, he said. I never met her because she died. And he never returned to his country. So I have no knowledge of his family. All the people I have in my relatives are from my mother's side. I haven't tried to meet anyone. Anyway. Mm-hmm. And my father, when he made a family. Well, one thing he did, he came alone, he was alone, but he had five girls and five boys, so I know that his title will be in Panama for a while, because he had five boys to make sure that that may be in Panama for a while.
After, you say your father, when he first came to Panama, he was a water boy. What did he do after that? What other jobs did he have?
Okay, after he worked in the Havitana dry dock, he worked as a painter. He worked as a painter in dry dock. Until he retired. He stayed there and he worked until he retired. I think he was born in 1969.
What about your mother?
My mother, she's Panamanian, and at her time, she didn't go to school because she went to maybe little school, but not the public school, because at that time, she couldn't go to public school. Public schools were for the, you had to know somebody to get you into the public school. That's like now that everybody has access to school. So she did not obtain a sixth-grade certificate. She could read and write, but she didn't have a sixth-grade certificate. And her mother was from San Andres, Colombia. That's my grandmother. But I never knew her because personally, because she died before I was.
Do you have any memories of your parents' friends, of them visiting the house, and things that they used to do when they came over the house?
I can remember clearly a party they had one night. I don't know whose birthday it was, but I was sleeping. I was a baby, about 3 years old, and then I heard the neighbors coming. You just hear a noise coming, and then they got into the house. And what they did to have fun was they took bottles and maybe a knife or fork, and they hit the bottles and they took the grater and they were singing like, freeze, 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 baby, freeze. And my mom would say, like, go, go. And then a lady, well, she was going like, she was going like, freeze, and she was going like, freeze, like that. And she was going, and I was in my freeze. And these were things that children doesn't remember. I remember that one. They were having fun in their own way, because in those days they didn't have, like, say, music, things like this. Maybe they did, because after that there was a lady that had a gramophone, a box that you had to wind, and then you put the record table. We didn't have that, so they wanted a little phone at that time, and they took bottles of grater, and they were just having fun. And I never forgot that little party they had here with their kids at home.
A little bit about the school. I mean, do you remember anything more specific about the teacher or the classmates, their cultural or racial background?
My teacher at that time in Cologne, we didn't have much teachers. The teachers one came from Panama City. The teachers came from Panama City to teach here in Cativa. And the students also came from the highway, from New Providence, Limon, all the little settlements they had on the highway, they used to come to Cativa school. And the people from Pilon, where they had a school in Pilon, for all the people from that area, Pilon, Maria Cecilia, and that highway, they used to go to Pilon school, and Cativa. This one school covered the area from Providence down. I can remember in school we had a function one. It was like a play, and there is a famous apostle called the Moses. He was a grain of corn, and they had the sun and the water, and each person took their part, and then the grain of corn bursted and got up, and he welcomed the, he said hi to the days of her life, where he gave them thanks for helping him to flourish. I can remember that play. And about school in Cativa, first, before the school that we have now, the Manalo Bank, that school was inaugurated in 1964. But as far as it started, the school actually started in the corner, only when you saw something in the corner there. First, that was the school. There were two buildings. And we had third and fourth grade, fifth and sixth grade. And then across the street, as far as I go, across the street, there's a church now. That was first and second grade. Eventually, there was a factory, a tire factory, and they got the tire factory, and that became the school. And when they were preparing, cleaning the place to move the school there, a teacher, there was a big tank, a Kelama teacher, I told him, that is Manuel Urban. So when they put, when the school moved to that place, it had the name then, the Kelama Urban. Yes. Later when the place grew small, became too small to, for the amount of students, they built the one that we have now in this street. So it came over with the same name, Manuel Urbano, and that was founded in 1964. So it's not that we didn't have school before 1964, but the school didn't have a name. It was just in Escuela de Cativa. So from 1964, we have Escuela Manuel Urbano again. And right now, they want to turn it into a Ciclo Básico, but they don't have the physical space for the students. So I think they call it Básica, but they really don't have the third, second, and third year.
What types of music did you listen to growing up? What were your favorite singers, your favorite songs?
When I was growing up, we used to listen mostly to Sayus. Mostly Sayus. We used to listen to Calypso from Trinidad, Pablo, and then we had Lord Cobra from Colombia, Lord Cobra. And we used to have floor shows on Monday, Easter Monday. And you at least you use names of parties from the United States. They would say, well, the Shirelles, I think that's a group from the States, and they would present to us and call it the Shirelles, and that's okay to use the names from the States. And that was one of the ways to have, to be entertained here. We wait for the keep them on me, and you go to the slow show where they have people act, you know. It was nice to be here, but when it was time to come back home, you had to walk because we didn't have electric light in Cativa until about 1965. The president, Rodolfo Chiari, he inaugurated the electric light in this place. So before that, when you visit somebody at night, you had to take your torch. You know what is a torch? You put the kerosene into a bottle, put a wick with rag, and you lift the wick and you put it on your head, and that's how you walk through the trails to go to move around at night. Or when it's moonlight, then you have fun. You have fun on moonlight night because the place is clear and you can walk.
Have you ever heard of Louis Bennett?
Louis
Bennett.
Bennett.
Mighty Sparrow.
Yeah.
What thought comes to your mind when you hear that name?
Lord Cobra from Cologne, he was very accepted here in Cologne and out of the country out. And then I remember his favorite song was a banana. He used to sing a song about banana. And then he always included in his songs his wife, Gloria. He would sing a song to Gloria, and then he mentioned later his daughter, Xiomara. And with the banana song, once they had a big problem because in a show he was singing this banana song, and a man didn't like it, and the man started to throw bottles at him. Because like he went too close to the man's wife. So not his body, but like he said to her, what do you like? And you know the girl would say banana. And the man didn't like the joke and he just tossed the bottle at Cobra and it made a big uproar in the club. Well, when we were small, when we were growing up, both parents didn't like rice. They didn't like rice. So we would have rice on Sunday. And during the week, we usually ate brown food. Many days in soup. Other times, brown food with hot fish. Most of the time, hot fish or maybe a piece of steak. But most of the time, brown food. And on Sunday, you'll get rice. And my father didn't like rice and peas because it seems that in his culture, they don't deal with the rice and peas. He rather to have white rice, two peas, and meat. Because he claimed that Barbadian people eat the rice and peas when it wasn't any Barbadian. He wanted rice, beans, and meat or chicken, whatever. So we have that on Sunday for sure. But during the week, and we grew, and my father, after retiring, he used to plant. He used to plant. So first, we had so much land that wasn't used by anyone. You could just take a piece of land, clean it up, and start to plant there. So we planted his home food, yucca, yam, dashin, green plantain, green banana. So he would go to the farm and bring a bag of food, and we didn't have to buy the ground food. We had it downstairs, so the house was that high up and down, and we had the ground food downstairs, so we had that all the time.
Mm-hmm. You still cook those same type of foods today? What's your favorite recipe?
Sometimes. It takes more time to prepare those kind of food, or they're so expensive that you rather sometimes just throw some rice in the pot and eat. I like to have cuckoo. I like to have cuckoo with fish. Whether fried or ceviche, but cuckoo with fish is what I really like. And I still eat sometimes a piece of ground food along with the rice. I have rice, whatever meat, and maybe banana or plantain. I do like plantain a lot. Yuca also. But well, not all one day. I have one of them along with rice. But I do plan to rice. I do another one.
If you can think of, I know it's putting you on the spot a little bit, but if you can think of some of your favorite things, maybe things that your parents used to say or people around you.
My mother had a saying for everything that you did. I didn't like it. I used to say, why do you talk in proverbs? And I have to think, what do you want to say, instead of saying plainly what you want to say. And but I didn't like it, but it seems as if I learned it. Unconsciously, I learned it. And almost everything that happens, I bring up some one of those phrases, no, that I didn't like at that time, and I would say them now. And sometimes they say, like, when fool catch you, fitness or fit you. Something like, when trouble comes, you find what we did, but when we work before we work then. And they have so many things, it's like for every occasion they had a place to stay.
What religion are you and what denomination is
your Christian? Okay. I grew up in the Methodist Church, the one right across the street here. I grew up there. And I was there until this church was founded through a prayer meeting, and then the church was founded, so I just moved over. But okay, when I used to go to Sunday school in the Methodist Church, I would say I was active in the Methodist Church. But there was a time that I wasn't that active. I wasn't active, and then this prayer meeting started, and we ended up with this big church. I'm a member of this church, the Triumphant Restoration Church.
What role does religion play in your life?
Well, that's very important to me because when you are small, you hear about Jesus and you hear about the coming of the Lord. And someday, some people say that the world is going to end tomorrow. I remember as a kid jumping up and down one evening, the world is going to end tomorrow, the world is going to end tomorrow. Which, if it was to happen now, I would be jumping up and down. I'll be trying to maybe pray more or something. But as a kid, I used to be jump. Sometimes they say, well, the world is going to end tomorrow. And we start to jump as children running up and down. The world is going to end tomorrow. But now I am clear that it's not a tale. It seems to be a tale because you hear about the coming of the Lord and you grow up and the coming of the Lord and it's like a story. No, it's not a story, it's true. So I try to keep that part of my life in order. I try to have my devotional and to have my special time with the Lord daily. Some days you just don't make it, but I try to do it as often as I can. Because if I take every day, no. Some days you are running and you didn't get it. And the day you are running, you say a short prayer, you whisper something, but there's something you say. I realize that we can't just live like that because it's not a matter of you, it's there is somebody over us that controls and guides us in every way. And he has the power to help us to do everything for us. I am clear that it's not a day anymore. When I was small, I used to hear about it, and I always, you say things and you do things, but you still think it's a story. No, it's real. So I try to live up to the principles to guide myself by the Bible and what I'm telling you. you pick up your congregation here and you learn more about the Lord.
What is your favorite part of the worship service?
Praise? Worship. The worship service. Mm-hmm. Worship, not praise. I praise when you sing the song, mm-hmm. and worship is when you sing more cool songs where you try to get the connection with the Lord. So I like the worship song. And also the Word, because the Word is bringing the message from God's heart to the preacher's mouth into your ear. So I like the Word also.
Did you by any chance play sports as a child?
No, when I was in secondary school, I tried to play volleyball, but every time I went out to play, I practiced and went out to play, I went back home with my fingers swollen and pain, so I never, let me say, like, developed much in any sport.
Did you watch any sports on television growing up?
As a child?
No.
Now I watch the sport that is, what would I say, like if it's the football side, I look at it, because you have to know what's happening, so in the football time, I watch some football, if it's some other time, baseball time, I watch some baseball, but not to say that I love football, but I do stay informed. Mm-hmm.
During the finals and things like that.
Yeah.
What about live, for instance, when you were growing up, did you go to live games? Or did you go to stadiums to watch?
When I was growing up? Only, I used to go to baseball games because, you know, when I was growing up, they had the habit to send you to spend time at somebody in Rainbow City. And then they go to Rainbow City, they know about the ball game, and they will go to the ball game in the afternoon, and they will take you along because you were spending time in your home. But I didn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. At that time, I didn't understand anything.
Did you have any contact with the culture from the United States growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The only contact I had was books, because when I was growing up, my parents didn't buy like storybooks. That they worked on the neighbor. He was moving. He was like doing moving, mm-hmm. and when he was doing his job, he got storybooks from the United States, and he would bring them. And I could read when I was 3 years old, so I could read. So I'm reading stories. That's the contact I had.
Anything
about
the book, specific titles, or the type of stories?
Those stories were, I realized now that those were school books. Those were school books. Mm-hmm. So they were short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Gingerbread Man was in those books.
The first word or words that come to mind when someone says Westphalia?
Westphalia. Well, Westphalia, according to what I've been reading, the latest I've heard, that it is a mistaken expression that they taught us that we are Westphalia. And I've heard lately that we are not Australian because we are not Indian. That we are Afro-Caribbean. So I was told, don't go around using West Indian because you are not an Indian. And some mistake happened there, and we were taught that we are West Indian. They used the term West Indian many years ago, and we are Afro-Caribbean. Because we are descendants of Caribbean guys.
Can you tell us about your view, about your ancestry?
I always spoke to Samantha because he's a foreigner and he came here and he didn't have anybody, and then I always say, well, really and truly, I always love my dad more than my mom because I felt like sorry for him because he's alone. Can I say alone? Only because my mother, she has nieces and nephews, and she has a lot of people to love her. But my poor father came here alone, and then he needed his children, right, to show that love to him. I would have liked to meet somebody from his side of the family, and I don't know why I've never been to my dad. That's strange. Because my mother had an uncle, my grandfather's brother, he went to Nicaragua, and I went to Nicaragua, and I found him, and he was so happy to see that somebody from his family was interested about him, and he was happy, and I spent 1 month in Nicaragua with my uncle. But I don't know why I never been to Nicaragua. Maybe I think I will not find anybody from my father's family. Because he came here like 19, I don't remember what year it was. He was 9 years old. And he was born. And then he thought, what happened there? He died 92. I can't remember. But I don't know, he came so long ago. Mm-hmm. So long ago that I have to check to see what year my father came. I forgot that. But I don't know, if I just felt that if I go to Martinica, I may not find anybody who knows about him. Sometimes I look for a little paper that he brought when he came. It's all wrinkled, and I look to see his mom's and his dad's name. I think it's Pauline. Pauline is his mom. By knowing his name, maybe somebody will hear something. I still have the idea to go to Martinica to see who can I find.
What kind of cultural behaviors or qualities do you associate with West Indianness or Afro-Caribbeanness?
Afro-Caribbean. Because in Cologne we have a foundation. There's a foundation that I can aid, right? And what they were trying, I was included in that one year. We were trying to reestablish the Tea Party, because the Tea Party, they claim that it once ago the ladies used to join in the afternoon, like after you do your chores, you had tea and then you talk about the latest in the community and whatever. Then they shared ideas, even sometimes they shared recipes and things like this in the Tea Party. So we were trying to reestablish the Tea Party. We had one, we had two, and we didn't have any more. Because you know, when you start to have this thing and people start to think that, you know, the group just disappeared. And we worked so hard, and then you hear that this one, you know, somebody didn't sell tickets, so you know what happened there. But we had a nice Tea Party in the Washington Hotel, twice at the Washington Hotel, and we had a second one at the Washington Hotel. And after that, we grew. So, aside from that, sometimes they try to have dance, but when it's dance, I really don't do the dancing, so when they're having dance, I don't attend the dancing. The Tea Party in the hotel is quite enough. Mm-hmm. So I don't dance, so I don't go to dance. So sometimes they have dances with the music from old times and things like that.
you believe that, that people in Panama view or treat you differently based on your race?
And they say no, but yes. They will tell you openly no, but yes.
And in what ways have you seen that kind of different treatment or discrimination?
People will tell you plainly about the black. They tell you in your face. No, because those black people, and I can't stand them with those really close clothes, they do some stupidity. And when you say, hey, I'm black, I'm one. Well, no, but you're different. I don't know why, where they got that idea from. Because you are a teacher or you're somebody, oh no, you're different. Not different am I, we are the same. But they want to talk about the black. And when you tell them, hey, I'm one, they tell you you are different. I don't know what this is. Mm-hmm. And this could happen all the time. You may go to an office, and they look at you, and they continue doing what they're doing, and you have to know that you, let them know that you want some attention. Mm-hmm. You have to let them know. And you know, you have to be polite to them and let them know that the blacks are not always violent. Because sometimes they have the idea that the blacks are ordinary, violent people that like to fight for you. You know, you have to follow up and let them know that you want to communicate with them. And then they will give you a little change. But sometimes they think, we just like to know you because you are black, I think. So. I think it happens.
Have you ever lived outside of Panama?
No. I have visited many countries, but I've never lived
outside. Okay. What countries have you visited?
I've been in South America, I've visited Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, Central America, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, San Andres, the United States, Spain, England, France.
Were these more vacation or business?
Most of the trips have been vacation. And one to, what do you call it? Like a congress in England.
And what made you want to travel outside of Panama?
What made me want to travel outside of Panama? Well, sometimes you look at, you read about things, about countries, and it seems as if that is like, you just have to really say, hey, but you could go there and see for yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you get here, you find like, wow, this is it. It's Coco Pardo. I like Brazil, the Cristo. I mean, even though I'm not Catholic, but they have this Cristo on the hill, that is the place, and then I like to see different foods. I like to eat. And when I go to a country, I like to eat around the marketplace, if it's possible. If it's for me, I like to go around the marketplace because I could see more about the people around the marketplace. I didn't do that in Brazil, I didn't get to a market because I was limited. But I visited many places, the beach, you always hear about the Ipanema, wow, that is nice, the beach, it's a little
bit. And is there anything in particular that stands out in terms of culture for many of these trips that you made?
I like to know that, I like to focus on the language. The language and the, Pan language sometimes is detrimental when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. Once I remember Nicaragua, when I went to see my uncle, I was walking, I was going to dance because in Nicaragua became Lupi. Because I've been to Managua and other places, but I was in Lupi where my uncle was living. And I was going to dance because I realized that all the places that is at the coast, you have this like this happiness, this dancing spirit, and people are very happy. And I was going to dance in Nicaragua, I used to dance in Nicaragua, and then I told a guy, like, That's because I like in Panama, that means you are the house. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like. So I said, at least I said, you didn't know what happened. Why did you do like that? She said, no, the hair, that means that something will happen. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And that happens because you go to other country with your sign language and it's dangerous. There are many things that you cannot take along with you. You have to find out about it. And words also. There are words that you dare not mention in other countries, and here it's normal. Mm-hmm. So you find those little things in your voice, your country.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that your knowing and speaking English affected you, either positively or negatively?
Speaking English?
Mm-hmm.
Positively.
In what way?
I would say, sometimes I tell my students that if you can speak English, there's a job waiting for you. If you can speak English properly and you don't have a job, tell me and I put you on a job. I put you in a job.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody that can speak English, not even perfectly, but acceptably, you have a job in Panama today. Because the importance of English is growing more every day. Even though we suffered once when we had a maternal basket, top of population from speaking English, and that made a big effect in the language. He didn't want people to say English words, like the English word south was very popular. And then he said, oh no, this is a Spanish country. That is patitas pa vinagrat. And he didn't want any little English word around. He wanted everything to be Spanish. Now, while that was going on in Panama, the importance of English was growing worldwide. So when he finished with his nationalism, what happened at that time? We have people with the name of Green, we have Brown, and people start to make their name Spanish. Green. Brown. And let me see. They have some like two syllable names that they, everything got turned Spanish. So while they were changing their names from Green to Green and Brown to Brown and all the other names that they changed, they made in Spanish. And the grandparents were the ones that speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandparents started to hide their tongue to speak Spanish to their small, to their young ones because they have to speak Spanish. And the young ones grew up learning Spanish, not English. And when we arrived that English is the most important thing now, then they have the name. And like James would be Hamid and things like that. And then the people who once spoke English cannot speak it any longer. So that brought a tail. Look, the economy is doing a lot in Colombia to teach people to speak English. Because there are companies that have been here to install and they have to leave because they don't have the people to work with them because the colonists cannot speak enough English to get enough employees. And they have to leave. And the government has been investing money for the longest while. I can recall from 1999, there are courses, there is nothing, there are operators, and they're investing a lot of money for people to learn English. And it's not one or two will pick it up. But most people are not making use of the investment that the government is. So they're really doing a lot, and I could say they're doing. They're trying. Because the thing about speaking English, once you were looked at as a stranger, you were looked down at, and now you're high if you could speak English. Yeah. And there is a difficulty for a colonized to learn English. Why? Because on the street, they listen to broken English. And then in the classroom, you teach them standard English. And the grandmother at home will tell them, what is the kid teaching you? That is not right. And they come and tell you, my grandmother said that that is not right. This word is the right one. And they have a problem. They have to take and put away what they hear and what they get at home to pick up what you are teaching them. While the inferior people, and not for them, but they have an ability to speak English. Why? They don't have any contact with the language. And when they come to a city or even over there, you teach them, they pick it up quickly. You teach them something and they learn it as that, and that's it. But the English speaking, people with English speaking background or one mother, they have a problem.
Can you give me a recap?
How did you meet your husband?
I met my husband
in church.
Yeah.
I remember one day I was going towards the church that is in the, at the entrance. Entrance there. And my sister, because I like, well, in the Methodist church, you don't have that happy clapping. So I call that hallelujah. So when I call that hallelujah, so I said, I told my sister, hey, let's go to a church and have hallelujah. And she said, okay. So when we planned to meet heaven at a point, and when we met, she told me, hey, but Cecilia's uncle is going to preach at Mr. Adam's church. Oh, we want to listen to him because at least we know Cecilia. So I didn't go to the hallelujah there one day because it's hallelujah too. And the uncle, he didn't preach, he just, what do I say, exhorted. And after that, now she says to us, like, hey, but my uncle has a sweet tooth. And I just said, for that, will I have cake? So we got ice cream and cake, and we went home, got ice cream and cake. And after that, well, I didn't think of anything. I didn't go looking for a man, I just went to hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And then we became friends, and we started to communicate here in the States. So then we began to communicate. And one day, I don't know how, you know, he sent a letter and asked me to be his wife, and I got so nervous because I was picking my hair and I got out in my hands there because I answered him. I said, well, I can't answer you right away, but if you come to Panama, we could talk about it. I thought he would take that like 2 months to come. He was here like in about 2 weeks. And we talked it over and decided, and then we got married in 1997. Right after the wedding, I took a wonderful state, and he did it in that long time because he had a cancer in his lung. So he didn't know. And when he showed up, it was ready for him. I heard that they said that when you're cancer in your lungs, when he shows up, he's ready to take it. So he died in 1998. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What do you remember about his cultural background? Was he from the U.S.?
He was from, but then he came and we lived here in Panama.
Yeah.
He was family, but his parents were from Barbados. He was very acquainted with Barbados. He visited Barbados and he had, you can get clear remembrances from what he had from Barbados.
Did his family have any issues at all with the issues with you as a Panamanian?
No, because he's Panamanian. His background is from Barbados, but he's Panamanian. And his daughter is Panamanian also. He lives in the States with his family. No, we didn't have any issues with that.
And do you have any children?
I have one daughter.
Can you tell us about her?
My daughter, she is, I'll say, cool and easy going. She's a cool girl. She doesn't get you any problems. She is now 24 years old, and she studied in, she started to go to school. She had like 1 year in one school, 1 year in the other, and she has been to school in Cologne. Then he had a year in New York also. When she came back and she went to St. Mary's Academy, she came back to Episcopal Academy and she just been going around. And after that, after her year in Episcopal Academy, then she went to, I told her, now you're going to the Glorioso Colegio Aberbravo, where I graduated. And she went to the Aberbravo High School, where she obtained
That's not bachelor's.
High school.
Diploma. After that, she went. went to the Fundera and she got her bachelor's degree, She's a occupational therapist. And she still studies now because she's taking her working as a video that is in Mandela. But she doesn't work in that field because she couldn't get a job in that field. So she's working at the call center. And she's been working there for three years in that call center. She's totally bilingual.
Does she consider herself Panamanian or West Indian or both or Afro-Caribbean?
I don't even know how she considers herself. Because she is so cool that she likes to use her attire. But she's not going to get into any discussion with anybody about who is Tomba, who is Native. Not that she's
You said that she's fully bilingual just because you spoke with her at home in English when she was growing up?
No. What happened when she was small? I used to speak to her in English and she answered in Spanish. And I thought she had a dominion of English, and no. When I decided to take her to the Caribbean International School that is fully bilingual, I realized that she didn't know enough English. She had to go to a special class, ESL, to get up to par to go into a class. But I thought that she knew English because I would speak to her in English and she answered in Spanish and I thought she knew English. It's not good. It's not good because I learned that. But okay, after that, she had 2 years in the Caribbean International School that is fully bilingual. Then she went to New York and she had fifth and sixth grade. And she came back to the Academia St. Mary's in Panama, in Balboa. So from there, she had a good English background from there.
Do you have any family right now who lives overseas? And if so, where do they live?
That lives overseas. I have a sister in Georgia, one in Texas, and a brother in New York.
When they come back to Panama to visit, the Panamanian treat them in any particular way, or do they treat them as less of Panamanian?
No. When people come to visit Panamanians, they have history. Many Panamanians have tried that all they want to do is tell the people about their problems. They want to ask them for money. They want to tell them, give me that shoes when you're going back, give me that blouse, give me that skirt. Okay, and there's nobody treating them anyway. I mean, I like to ask the people for the clothing and the shoes. Good for it because they like it.
When your family members come to Panama, in general, how do people treat them?
I say they treat them good. In general,
where you traveled before. Do you remember when you took those trips? Or?
Okay, when I used to travel first, I started traveling maybe in 1977, since I went to San Andres and I went to Nicaragua, and I liked the traveling, so I started to travel. But when I went to England, in England we had a, it's like a congress, and then we had a lot of people from all over the world, and I liked the Africans. You see the Africans every morning. I used to look for the, where they are and go there because they have some the outfit. Wow, nice! They look so delicate, and I used to look for them, and you know, we talk, and you see the little African there. And let me tell you, I came in my own plane. He owns his airplane, and then I was a school teacher, a primary teacher, and I'm like, hey, what am I doing traveling? Going here and there, and when people ask me, what do you do? I'm a school teacher. That I don't do some studies. So from the time I went, well, I went as far as when I went to Europe, I was a school teacher still. And after that, I stopped traveling. And I started to study. And I started to study, and I got serious about it. So I got my bachelor's degree, then I had a post-grade, and then I had another post-grade, and then I had my master's degree, and then I said, okay, now you can travel again. Because it's not that you don't have to have a time to travel, but do something for yourself too. One day you may be able to buy an airplane like the guy, because it's not for him alone. So then I studied. I obtained my master's in education in 2005. Yeah, from Framingham State College, Massachusetts, but Panama Extension. So I have obtained my master's in education, and then I said, okay, now you can travel. Mm-hmm. So then I went, that's when I went to Brazil, Argentina, those are the latest I went this year.
Okay.
In January I went to Uruguay.
And in terms of your experience on those different ships, how did you feel people's opinion was of Panamanians overall, or Panamanian West Indians in particular?
Well, some people believe that in Panama you have mostly white people. They don't expect to see that. I don't know why, but they don't expect to see that from Panama. And when they say that, where are you from? They're going to hear you speak Spanish. Where are you from? And you say, Panama, they're like, Puerto Rico. I mean, really places like Brazil, where they have many blacks, sometimes they think that you're from there. Sometimes they believe that you're one of them.
What is your current profession or job?
My current job, I'm an English professor.
Do you have a specific message that you would like to convey or communicate to the younger generation?
In the community?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could tell the younger generation in this community is that we are able to obtain whatever we put in our mind if we work towards it. Because once ago, in this Kativa, we never had people who studied. Now people study, but once. Here, as the girl came out of sixth grade, she became pregnant and she became a housewife. And that was the pattern, But now time has changed, and now we can become, maybe we could have a president of the Republic of Panama coming from Cativa, because right now we have from here, we have legislators, right? So we can have people from here that can hold good positions, but all we have to do is persevere and work towards that. We can make it. Because we are not different from anybody else, even though people talk about this place as if it's the least, but it is not. We have good people coming out from Cativa too.
Mm-hmm.
than people that were very important in Cologne, in the Republic. So I would say that it's a message.
I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to share with us. Something that we haven't talked about yet that's on your mind. Or
anything we saw right now.
Are you involved in any community groups or organizations?
Not really.
I don't know if you had anything else. Is there anything at all else that you could tell us about your experiences in other countries? In terms of your reaction, your interaction, culturally speaking.
I could say, well, my last trip to Brazil, I went with a group, but I happened to be alone in the airport. And maybe I looked like one, so they thought I was one, and then they're like, "Faia, faia, faia." You know, they were speaking so fast that you could pick up one or two words in another language and people speak so slowly. They were talking to me so fast, and I'm like, "What is this now?" And then, but somebody always come along, and I mean, they realized that you were speaking another language. The lady was nice, and she said, "Okay, I'm going to help you." And she spoke a little Spanish and a little of her Portuguese, and she stayed with me until she put me on a cab to go to the hotel, because I missed the plane with the group, and all I asked the lady is like, "Where are you going to be?" And she said, "Hotel Formula Uno." And that is all I had to get to them in Sao Paulo. And then I thought it was only one Hotel Formula Uno. They had many. So then the same guy that drove the cab, he called his office, he called the base, and they started to find out that. Luckily, we went to one in Sao Paulo, and the one that the group was in was nearby. But it's like when I was coming through the airport, people didn't like pay much attention because they thought I was Brazilian like them. So they were telling me like, "Whatever they say so fast." Mm-hmm. And this lady, like, she realized that I was lost, and she was so nice. She stopped. She had her son with her, and she stopped and she helped me, and she even took me in the taxi, and I was very grateful that I did appreciate that. I love it. It's not like the hotel is near the airport. Mm-hmm. I alone in Sao Paulo, Brazil, mm-hmm. looking for a group in a hotel that there is a chain of hotels. It wasn't easy.
Another question. You said you went to Uruguay?
Yeah.
Did you encounter any black folks in Uruguay, and were they, you know, if you did or didn't, how did they respond to you being black sometimes?
I can't remember anything black. Maybe they have black in certain parts, but I went to Montevideo. So,
what was your time in San Andres like?
San Andres, 2 hours. That's about maybe 5 days. I'm in San Andres. I like the taxi. I like the traffic police. The traffic police will say like, "You go so, you turn so, you come this way, you go that way, you come so, you turn back." And that was so funny to me, the traffic police. In Brazil, well, I don't know, I think Brazil is just a place for fun, because at night, and they are totally, like, they they make use of the tourism so much. They are prepared to meet the tourists on the beach, not only Ipanema, but the beach in Santos. Along the beach, there are little kiosks, and it has plenty of light. You could walk there 11 p.m., 12 p.m., and it's plenty of light. And kiosks and music. I was here just before Carnival, so they were practicing, and it was so nice. And they have teams prepared to entertain tourists. They have a bus that you could go upstairs without any cover. But while the bus is moving, you cannot stand. You have to sit. And there is a guide explaining. He's not explaining. He has a cane. But you know, you are getting instructing you about the place, that is Santos. Santos is a port where the tourists live. And then I came back to Colombia, and I'm responsible for a piece of land in the city, and people wanted to buy it. I said, I will never sell a piece of land in a place that is going to become a port of departure for tourists. Because when that happens, everything gets too expensive. So there I want my piece of land, and I don't know what will happen later. But it's no time to sell your property. This is no time to sell property. All what you have is getting better.
And you said you also went to Bufu.
Oh, Bufu, Nicaragua. Yeah, because the black community usually live on the coast. Usually. And the Atlantic coast. So even the Pacific coast has some black, but mostly on the Atlantic coast you find the black community. Oh, because the Caribbean is out here, so they just come down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And Bluefield is fun, it's nice. We used to go dancing. It's like, I don't know, like they don't have problems. They just think about the dance. They think about the dancing. And in Bluefield at that time, they used to sell the chacalini, which is shrimp. 1/4 of a pound. That was, in that time, it was like 10 cents a pound. You hear people chant shouting, chacalini, chacalini. And every evening, they prepare certain food like tiburón, which is a leaf with yuca, a little tomato and cabbage salad, vinaigrette, and a piece of chicharrón on it. That is tiburón. So in the afternoon, people come around, tiburón, tiburón, you buy your soup, tiburón. A place that I haven't been is to Puerto Limón in Costa Rica. I've been to Costa Rica many times, but not to Puerto Limón. But somebody told me it's just like all the different communities on the coast, and the Atlantic coast. But I'm going to be there.
Where will your next trip be to?
Well, my next trip, I want to make two trips. Next year, January, I like to take the kids that is leaving Colón to go to Bonaire and Cartagena. I want to take that too. But I want to get smart now. I want to take a late ticket. Like you can communicate with the ship itself, with the crew, and you go with them. You don't go through the agent in Colón. I want to go with the ship. I'm trying that. I don't know, because what the danger in that is that you might not get on the cruise. It's dangerous, you might not get on the cruise. So I'm planning that. But that would be, if I'm doing that, it's just gonna mind because I would like to go to Israel. Somebody told me that going to Israel, you get, what is the word for it? If it deceives you to go to Israel. I don't know how to use it. They say that you go expecting to see great things and that it's like early and I don't know. That's what somebody told me. So I want to go to Israel.
Why do you want to go there? What's really that desire?
Because I saw some pictures. And I think those pictures did a lot to me in my religious life. Because when you hear about Jesus and all these things, it seems so like unreal. But when you see the pictures that somebody took in my head, so my head like, is this true? Because you know, a lady bought some pictures about the different places that we read about in the Bible, and I look at the pictures, like, it is true. I want to go for him, to see for myself, to have the experience, to be there. Like I became conscious of the whole situation, seeing the picture. Even though you see it in book, but in book, but when you have the picture of somebody too, it's different.
Thank you very much for participating in this project and sharing your story with us. And as I was mentioning earlier, we're going to keep you informed about what's going on, what we're doing. So we'll definitely be in touch with you.
Okay, thank you for your time. And I hope that my experience will be of use to you and whoever you need to share it with. Thank you. My glasses.
Oh. So you couldn't see us the whole time.